Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Yeah, reaction coming in to the Minister for Education, Norma Foley's announcement this morning on this programme a little while ago that the grade inflation that was seen happen over the COVID years is now going to be pulled back from 2025. This listener says the students who were in first year during COVID had 2 years of no school, went into junior cert in a new curriculum. The teachers didn't even know the layout of the papers. They never caught up on missed time. My child has never recovered. And they say that the grade inflation should include the next 2 years of leaving certs, to be fair. And that's probably a predictable response from very many parents this morning. 51551 for your messages. Adam Maguire, RT business journalist, is with us again. Adam, we've spoken before about endorsements, haven't we? But
yeah.
Today we're going to look at something different. We're looking at the world of collaborations.
Yeah, because an endorsement is really just about putting the name or the face next to the finished product. A celeb gets paid to be on an ad, they turn up to an event or whatever it is, and the brand kind of hopes to benefit from the reflected glow of that. But a collab is meant to be a much deeper relationship, or at least that's the message that's given across. You know, in fashion, for example, a collab is positioned as something where the celebrity helped to design the products that are now being sold, or maybe they curated the collection and they were involved in the process of actually picking this collection of clothing. And so
they either made them or they actually liked them, as opposed to being paid
for. They actually picked them out, themselves, things that they might wear themselves.
So this works because they've become very popular, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. Like endorsements, in fairness, still have value, but nowadays we know what they are. So we know they're transactional. We know the celebrity is paid to be linked to the product. We know it doesn't necessarily mean that they actually like that product or use it. But it's also plain to see just how powerful a celeb's decision making can be. You know, if Taylor Swift is spotted wearing a jumper, her Swifties will immediately, you know, do forensic analysis to find the piece and basically buy every single copy of it that exists. It's sold out immediately worldwide. We have lots of stories in recent years of small designers or producers being bombarded suddenly with orders because a celeb gave them a shout out on social media or was just seen wearing or using one of their products. So brands see the value in being able to say, this is something your favourite singer or actor or whoever it might be wears or would wear or would use. So it's also a way of leveraging the social media kind of clout that these people have as well, because you know, a celeb might not tweet out about the ad that they're in, but if it's a product that they have their name on or they're involved in, they'll tweet out about it and they'll help promote it beyond the traditional ad spend that a company might take out.
Okay, so the highly paid celebs, what's in it for them?
Well, money, obviously. But, you know, they're going to get a big fee just like they would for an endorsement from working with a brand. In some cases, they might also, with a collab, and maybe this is where it starts to get different, they might be able to negotiate a cut from the sales as well. So it's not just about an upfront sum. It's like, well, if my name is on this, I'm getting a little bit of the points on it too. But an endorsement can also be a kind of brand building exercise for a celebrity, because the nature of the collaboration says a lot about them. First and foremost, it can help if they want to position themselves as being creative and, you know, they're designers, they're not just actors or singers. And maybe it might complement their reputation and what their core job is as well as that. And depending on what the collab is, it might help push them beyond, you know, whatever their image is. So it might be seen as, you know, they're stylish or they're into fitness or they're into their food. You know, you think of Stanley Tucci, for example, obviously built this reputation around food, and now there's loads of cookware and all this stuff with his name on it as well. And what brands will, you know, they team up, it will tell you a lot about their influence on their target audience. So a collab with a high-end or luxury clothing brand will tell you a different story about who that celebrity is or who they're trying to be compared to a collaboration with a high street or a discount chain. But another benefit for public figures is that the collab allows them to kind of build out their little empire at relatively minimal risk. If they were to go and launch their own clothing label, say, for example, it takes a lot of work, a lot of planning, big risk there, a lot of chance that it will flop and they'll lose money on it as well. But if they piggyback on an existing company who has all the infrastructure there and knows how the industry works, it's a much safer bet and it's much more likely it's going to go well, or at least they're not going to lose out as a result.
Or they can just leave it behind.
Exactly.
Minimal impact.
It comes to an end and it's not as embarrassing as having to shut down a company.
So I'm sure as you were going through all of that, there were people thinking about, you know, the different collaborations that they've come across. Take us through some of the ones that are well known or successful.
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty much now every big brand or even relatively small brand, even retailer, has some kind of collab going on at the moment, all the way from the top end down to the likes of Penny's and Boohoo. And they're not confined to major celebrities either. You know, as I was looking through this, you know, a lot of former Love Island contestants have collabs with different retailers. But in terms of the big names, one that jumped out was Beyoncé, who worked with Balmain for a line of clothing inspired by her last album, Renaissance, which really shows, you know, the benefit there in cross-promotional, that she used it as a part of her album promotion as well. I wonder if she's talking to Levi's at the moment for the latest album.
Wrangler,
yeah. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Well, she could get a bidding war going, I'm sure. But Dua Lipa designed a line of summer clothing for Versace last year. Billie Eilish worked with Nike on a number of versions of their Alpha Force runners. But maybe the one that kept jumping out, the one in terms of kind of the collab king, and it's one that you probably wouldn't think of immediately, is Snoop Dogg. He's kind of more of an ad man than a rapper nowadays, and collaborations are a big part of that. So he's collaborated with the wine brand 19 Crimes with a particular brand blend called Cali Red, which he allegedly selected himself. His picture is on the label as well. He's also worked with Skechers on a number of runners, which has been very lucrative for him, but also for Skechers because it opened them to a whole new target audience that they just didn't have before he came along. And the reason why he started collaborating with Skechers is because of perhaps his best tie-up of all, which isn't a collaboration with a brand, it's with another person, which is Martha Stewart. Now, she's, of course, the kind of...
Such a brilliant idea.
Absolutely. You know, they're kind of chalk and cheese. She's this wholesome TV chef. He's obviously a rapper and, you know, has a kind of, you know, murky background that he kind of plays up as part of that. But that's kind of what makes the collaboration work so well. So they've co-hosted TV shows. She wrote the foreword in his cookbook. They've launched a line of weed-friendly bags, and they have a series of ads for Bic Light at the moment. They've made an awful lot of money from this collaboration between the two of them as well. It's worked really, really well.
Yeah, good idea, whoever had that one. Now, there's the two celebs collaborating. Two brands, though, teaming up.
Yeah, brands are increasingly collaborating either as a way of kind of making the most of their respective areas of expertise or to create entirely new kind of mashup products. And sometimes they make perfect sense. So, for example, IKEA collaborated with speaker maker Sonos to produce wireless speakers and accessories that fit into the IKEA design aesthetic. They've also worked with Lego to make storage options that fit the brick. So again, you know, if you're getting bits and pieces from IKEA for your kid's bedroom, you get some Lego branded stuff and that fits with the bricks as well. Adidas collaborated on a line of clothing with home fitness equipment maker Peloton, which again, there's an obvious link there. A few years ago now, we started seeing some interesting kind of mashup products in the chocolate aisle. For example, Cadbury bars started getting, you know, Oreos and pieces of Dime bar crammed into them. That was actually as a result of the fact that Cadbury was bought by Kraft, now Mondelez, who owned Oreo and Dime. So it was actually one company trying to make the most of all their different little brands.
Stir
well.
All the bits in at
exactly,
no cost.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was a smart tie-up on their part. Another seemingly logical one is between a hotel company and a mattress company, though maybe less logical in terms of the price tags involved. The Corinthia Hotel in London recently announced a partnership with Swiss mattress maker Hastings, which is the mattress brand of choice for Drake, in case you were wondering.
I was wondering that.
Yeah, exactly. It was on my mind. The hotel deal will see its Moringa mattress being used in Corinthia's 35 suites. You're looking at spending upwards of €1,000 to stay one night in one of those suites, but in return you get to sleep on a mattress that's worth €20,000. So,
and is the mattress company hoping that we'll stay in the hotel and go, oh, the next thing that I'm going to save for over the next 20 years is one of those mattresses?
I presume it's, oh, that was such a nice, that's the mattress I'm going to get. And okay. I suppose if you're staying in one of these suites in a fancy hotel, it probably won't take you 20 years to save from the mattress. But yeah, it is become the mattress of choice for people who are staying in these kinds of places.
Fair enough. And Drake. So then you said they're the obvious ones, the ones that we can see clearly, Adidas and Peloton. Some, though, not so obvious. And they've worked in some cases.
Yeah, they have. Like, for example, lip balm maker Burt's Bees launched a ranch dressing flavoured variety of its lip balm. It was actually an April Fool's joke that they put up, and people responded so positively to it, they said, sure, why not? We may as well make it. So they did. Nike has made a line of Ben and Jerry's themed runners. Maybe, though, the best at the odd mashups is Crocs. They've worked with all sorts. KFC made some fried chicken themed Crocs. They've worked with musicians like Justin Bieber and Post Malone to design new styles. The weirdest of all, I think, is one that Crocs and Balenciaga crossover, and that included a high heel Croc that came out as well. So again, you have a fairly, I won't say, you know, Crocs are expensive enough, but you know, they're a really common brand with a high-end luxury brand blending together to make some unusual
products.
Yeah,
Crocs are definitely going through a moment. I hear them mentioned a lot at home. So the appeal of that then, to do something that might not be that appealing.
Yeah,
but, and do it in conjunction with another brand.
That's kind of what it's all about. It's not necessarily about selling products. It is about drumming up publicity. Because if you announce a weird product line, maybe it's a limited edition thing, good chance is it's going to go viral. People are going to be reacting to the idea. Then they're going to be reacting to getting the product and trying it out. And you know, there's kind of an attraction to it there as well. So the mashup itself and the product might not really make them much money, but it can really help in terms of free publicity for the brand in general. And a lot of brands are also keen now to show the world they're able to have fun, and you know, they're able to kind of poke fun at themselves. So there's this kind of post-ironic element, you know, companies trying to blur the lines between what's a serious product and something that's a joke, and what they're actually doing as a business, and you know, the fun they're having with customers. And customers want to do that as well. They want to buy a product maybe that looks horrendous, or you know, is a horrendous idea, and they're wearing it in an ironic or not ironic way, or they're trying to show that they're kind of having a bit of fun with the brand as well. So brands are just basically trying to capitalize on that.
Yeah, they need to be careful though, don't they? Because it can all go horribly wrong and it can backfire.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like maybe one of the longest running collabs ever was one between Lego and Shell, which lasted more than 50 years. And I remember these Lego Shell branded sets, including petrol stations and oil trucks. You could get them in the petrol stations back in the day. But while it might have seemed like a good kind of collaboration back in the 60s when it started, by the 21st century and, you know, the growing distress around the impact of fossil fuels and the environment, it looked very, very different. But it still took some time to actually walk away, and a lot of pressure from the likes of Greenpeace for them to abandon this relationship. It was 2014 before they actually came to an end, the Shell Lego sets. Another disaster was Ungaro's hiring of Lindsay Lohan as a designer around 15 years ago. Her first clothing line was dubbed a disaster and cheesy, and that it was very kind of, you know, basic in terms of what she was doing. It was a total flop, to the extent that a lot of brands were completely put off these kind of collaborations as a result of that tie-up. But maybe the most expensive one of all in terms of the mess-ups was Adidas and Kanye West, which resulted in the Yeezy line of runners and other items as well. In fairness, hugely lucrative to both sides when it was up and running. At its height, Yeezy was thought to be bringing in $2 billion in revenue for Adidas each year, and millions, probably hundreds of millions, for Kanye West as well. But Kanye West then started posting anti-Semitic messages on social media. The sports brand obviously decided it was time to walk away from the deal, but it left a huge hole in their finances. They were worth anywhere between 7 and 10% of Adidas's annual sales when they walked away. So they had to slash their profit forecasts and their dividend to shareholders. They also had to deal with €1.2 billion of unsold Yeezy stock.
Yeah, I remember that at the time. What did they do with all those?
Well, listen, it was this whole debate that do we destroy it, which is obviously a massive waste. Do we sell it and then we're potentially profiting? And Kanye West would be entitled to a cut as well. Do we profit off these messages that he was putting out there? In the end, they have decided to start selling the stock instead. And they sold a couple of hundred, I think it was €500 or €600 million worth of stock last year. Huge demand for it. It was a very popular product line at the time, and even more so now because people realise they're not making any more of these. This is coming to an end. What they did then is that they donated a lot of the profits they made to anti-hate groups and charities and so on, as a way of kind of saying, look, we're not trying to make money off this. You know.
Yeah, you're going to send me down a rabbit hole now of Lindsay Lohan and Ungaro. Ungaro. Emmanuel Ungaro.
Lots of hearts on her tops and things. Apparently it was very...
So she didn't go to the show in Paris where her line was supposed to be
produced.
Right, and she ended up going to a Kenzo show, and she said, oh, I can't talk about why I'm not at the other show. There are legal things going on. And then the guy who set up the label, Ungaro himself, said that her debut at the house he founded was a disaster. I'm furious, but I can't do anything about it. Why couldn't he do anything about it? Because he had sold the company to an investment fund 4 years earlier. So,
but his name was still on it.
His name was still on it. Yeah. And there you go. So,
be careful now with the collaborations. For any listeners out there who are doing collaborations with big brands, just be careful.
Be careful. Be careful. And I haven't heard much about Ungaro since.
No, neither. It's not one of those brands that you're... So I think it was... I don't know much about it. Was it kind of up and coming at the time, 10 years ago? And I think it was trying to maybe be a bit edgy, and because Lindsay Lohan obviously would have had kind of issues at the time and would have been in the newspapers a lot. So I think maybe they were trying to be a bit clever and get you know, an edgy kind of actress involved in their brand.
Well, listen, I'd say there's about half to three quarters of an hour now of diving down into that.
We'll do a Lindsay Lohan chat another week.
Thanks so much, Adam. That's Adam McGuire there. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.